Well, good morning, everybody. How are we all doing today? It's a little different experience up here for us because we really can't see you very well because we have these two bright lights coming right at us. So apologies for putting my hand up in the air just so I can see everyone who's in the audience. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Just a quick kind of check to get an understanding of who's with us this morning. How many people in here are already AX customers? Great. How many of you are 2009 customers? And how many of you are 2012 customers? Okay, so more 2012 than we have 2009. Okay, great. So what we want to do is I'm going to kick off with a quick video for those who haven't seen AX before, the new AX. It's going to kind of give you a quick overview of what it looks like, the new experience. We are very excited about what we've been able to do with the new modern UI that we have and the new modern product that we've been able to bring to market. And so with that, we'll go ahead and let you all take a look. So I know that's a lot to throw at you very early in the morning, but I think the thing that really comes through is kind of the highlights that we put in there of being able to kind of take this new UI, but the integration that we're doing with the rest of the Microsoft stack, what we're bringing together with CRM, so we'll talk a little bit about that Dynamics 365 overview, the migration paths and licensing options. We're not going to get into that too much in detail. We're really going to be focusing on letting Manoj kind of really help demonstrate what we're doing for 2009 and also be able to show you what we're doing for 2012 in terms of the tools to allow you for 2009, we call it to migrate, and for 2012 to upgrade to AX. So, and we didn't get a chance to start. My name is Winston Haight. I'm the Senior Product Marketing Manager on the Enterprise ERP team, and I'm joined by Manoj. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Manoj Swaminathan. I am the Principal Group Program Manager as part of Solution Architecture within R&D.
So very excited to have Manoj with us. He has been traveling the world, literally, talking to customers and helping them to go live with AX. I don't know if you were in Mike Ehrenberg's general session that he did on Monday. We launched in February. We have seen incredible adoption of the new product. We now have over 100 customers that have licensed and are in the process of deploying. And we've even had some customers that have been able to, on average, you're seeing anywhere from 60 to 90 days to onboard, which for an ERP product right now is pretty amazing. And there's a lot of synergies that we're getting with the products that's helping us to speed up that onboarding process and that go-live process. And we are excited to see so many customers that are joining us on that journey. So I think part of that journey is the digital transformation. And I think a lot of times businesses need to, and you're going to hear us say this a lot, but it's really important that businesses understand and business leaders understand that it's their responsibility to look at what this digital transformation means to them and to their business. It's not just going digital. It's the fact that you're taking the digital, you're taking people, you're taking analytics, and you're bringing them together in ways that we haven't been able to do before. And by bringing them together, being able to leverage the capabilities and the synergies between all of them, it's allowing them to then reimagine what they're doing for their business processes, but also for the business as a whole. So it allows them to then channel towards these four areas that we know are kind of the main areas of concern that customers have that we've been speaking to over the last few years. So it's how do you engage with your customers? How do you get those touch points? How do you get that interaction that gives a richer experience, that gets a more connected experience? Empowering your employees, giving them the power to do more with information, with systems that allow them to be mobile, mobile phones or tablets, do anything that they want anywhere, anytime. Optimizing their operations, taking their business processes, being able to reevaluate them and figure out how do we help digitize the organization and what does that mean to changing our business processes. And then for transforming your products, when we transform the processes, we also need to transform the products to match those new processes. And so these are all pieces that we are working together with in terms of just not just AX or Dynamics 365 for operations, but also for the CRM components as well. So as we talk about, and I think what's really exciting for us inside Microsoft, and especially with inside Dynamics, is we're now starting to take these two silos that everyone's been seeing between CRM and AX, and we're actually being able to unify them and bring them together in ways and be able to get the synergies that everyone's been talking about and we've been able to kind of be envisioning. We're now being able to deliver that. And I think that's what's really the heart of what Dynamics 365 means to you as users and to you as developers and admins, of being able to simplify some of this and unify process flows and business processes across both products in ways that you've only been thinking about or dreaming about. We're now making it a reality. There is a big announcement that's going to be coming in 2 weeks at the AX User Group meeting, or the Dynamics Summit, that's going to be in Tampa, Florida. Some of you may already be going. For those who aren't, we're actually going to be live streaming the keynote, which will be on Tuesday, October 11th in the afternoon. Scott Guthrie is going to be doing the keynote for that. And then Wednesday morning, Christian Peterson's, who's the general manager of marketing for Dynamics, he's going to actually be doing a live broadcast of his general session. So we're really getting a chance to share with everyone what we're really doing and what we're excited about. And we're kind of, that's the time we're going to be kind of peeling back the layers a little bit more since our July 6th announcement of Dynamics 365 being created. And we're going to be able to get into more showing you kind of the end-to-end processes, order to cash, which is kind of the standard one you'll hear, or lead to cash in terms of how you can take all the information using that new common data model that we're introducing and be able to move information seamlessly between CRM and AX, and actually being able to extend that to also go out to Office 365. And when you start to see these, you start to see the advantage that we get of not just taking the individual components, because part of the beauty of Dynamics 365 is you can license just the pieces you need. So you may only need to do something for sales, for customer engagement. But if you can then take that and combine it with operations, then you can go from sales not only to just having that touch point, but when you go to do a quote, it can actually go in and look at not just creating the information and sending it to the customer, but it can check inventory levels. It can kick off notices for what needs to be done for manufacturing, for replenishing supplies. It can look at what type of discounts they may be able to get that are offered based on what type of customer they are. All of that now starts to become automatic, and you can be seamlessly integrated. And I think as we start to look at what that can mean to you as operators and to you as business owners, it's the ability to take and engage with all these different environments and all the different products that are there and all these different processes, if you will, business processes, and being able to take them at the point that you need for whatever your customers are looking for, or what you're able to sit there and reimagine for your business to say, if we take a look at our field service, and we just want to do field service, well, how can we integrate that with the Internet of Things? And how can we sit there and look at, for operations, being able to pull all those pieces together that then feeds into those other systems of record that can help then truly digitize the organization and help you further along on that digital journey? And then, as I talked about before, what's exciting for us and what becomes exciting is you start to bring multiple of these business processes, whether it's the sales, the service, the operations, or project service automation, you start to then get the leverage of the Office 365 and the Azure IoT pieces. Machine learning that you can use on your website to give recommendations to people for, you know, similar to what you see with Amazon. If you bought, you know, people who've bought this have also bought that. Help to kind of upsell the customer, give them a better customer experience, truly digitally engage with them in ways that you haven't been able to do before. The Power BI, the fact that you're being able to take this incredible ability to deliver whatever analytics that people want on whatever device they're looking at, wherever and whenever they want it, to help them make better decisions faster. The application platform, now we take and take the common CRM and AX components, and now we start to put things like Power Apps on top of it. You start to get that flow of information now seamlessly that you can set up those processes to flow back and forth through the products, and not just with the Dynamics products, but out into Office as well. And then the app source, where we're being able to take this new Azure marketplace and being able to take these business applications that your power users, your citizens, developers, as we call them, can develop and be able to push out to your existing company or existing employees, or being able to sit there and take partners' products and other vendors' products that you can then surface within the operational pieces that you're looking at to be able to see what additional features and functionality you want to be able to deliver to your users. So when you have these new processes in the cloud, you have to kind of start taking a different holistic approach now at looking at this. And you need to be looking at things from a purpose-built standpoint. You need to understand as you look at your digital reimagination of what you're going to be doing and how you're going to be doing it. A lot of times when we talk about it, and I'll go from the AX perspective because I think it makes more sense at this point. One of the things that we have customers do from the very beginning is they license AX, which is our enterprise resource planning product for those who don't know. And we have them look at the business processes first. We have over 800 business processes that are actually documented, graphically documented, for the product. And we have them walk through and look at, here's the process for doing a purchase order. Right now I know there's 37 steps that it takes to do a purchase order in AX. That's out of the box. So the question becomes, do we go with the out-of-the-box functionality? In that case, maybe you want to. There's no customizations, everything's built, you know everything will upgrade seamlessly, you won't have any problems. But maybe you do need to make some customizations. There's a secret sauce you have, a certain way that you do it that you think makes you competitively better than the other people in your industry. So having to take the business processes is really what becomes the core to all the things that you're going to be doing as you look at this digital transformation. What are the steps that we're going to do all these different things? AppSource allows you with AX and also with CRM to be able to take partners' IP and be able to say, I know I'm a partner who does discrete bottle manufacturing or a certain type of computer packaged goods, and I know the business processes that you use because I've helped 30 of your competitors or 30 other people in the industry do this, and I know there's 57 business processes that you need to look at. And I'll sit down and walk you through this, but we have a way to help deploy those business processes into your environment very, very quickly and very seamlessly to help you to help you figure out what you need to be doing in terms of reimagining the digital nature of your business. Productive, you want the familiar tools. Again, extending the stack and being able to get out with a common data model and getting that data flowing seamlessly between all the applications makes this easier. The fact that you're going to see the integration that we're doing with a common UI, they talk about the productivity that's lost just switching between applications. You know, you're starting in Word, then you go into Excel, and you go into these. By seamlessly bringing it together and making it just as easy as just flipping a screen on your computer, but everything in the back end's connected, helps increase the productivity that you have for yourself and for your business. The built-in intelligence. Cortana Analytics Suite, machine learning, the Internet of Things, all of these can be brought together in ways that you may not even have thought of, but can help you to start to reimagine your business. And then adaptable. You need to be able to, and business leaders need to look at what they need to do to adapt to what customer needs are, but also staying agile enough to be able to envision where they need to go to help stay ahead of the market or maybe create new markets they hadn't even thought of. But being able to give them that digital view and that digital reimagination is where that can start to happen. So we call this our dome slide. Our engineers call it our protractor slide. I love the difference between marketing and IT with that. But I think what this really does is it highlights the four main areas that we see as we go to AX and what it really means to our customers and what it means to those who are from 2009 and 2012, kind of the differences. So the intelligent user interface, you've heard us talk about that a lot, that modern UI, that browser-based, that HTML-based interface that allows you to be on any device, automatically resizes and makes it very nice and simple, gives you that millennial attraction where the new employees coming in are excited to be using it. It doesn't look like their dad's ERP. It actually looks like a modern, we've even had people call it, we've made ERP sexy with the new interface. The proven business logic. It's the same business logic that's in AX that's been in 2012, and that's been in market for 5 years. And we very consciously made a decision not to change the business logic as we went to AX from 2012. The advantage to that is those who are in 2012, when you go to do the upgrade, it's an upgrade. It's not a migration. 2009, we did make some changes going from 2009 to 2012, but we created these tools that Manoj is going to be going through and showing you that allow you to help kind of understand what you need to do and then help make that happen for you. We really are with you on this journey. We've already done this for, I think we said yesterday, there's now six customers that we've taken from 2009 to AX. We've got this experience, but we're now putting it back just as we do with all the stuff that we do in terms of what our best practices are and putting them right back into the tools, right back into the products that we have that help with that. Continuous life to your system. It's an online service. So it's no longer cradle to grave. It's what we call cradle to continuous life or discovery to continuous life. So once you get up and going, we want to make it as easy as possible for you to maintain your systems, upgrade your systems, and update them as you need to. And then business anywhere, anytime, the power of the cloud. 34 Azure data centers in the world are what they call regions that have been announced, 26 are live. We can deploy AX today in any public Azure data center. We're also committed to supporting Black Cloud, which is the code name for the German cloud. Excuse me, Black Forest, which is the code name for the German cloud, as well as the Chinese sovereign cloud as well. So we really are looking at how we can help you meet the needs that you have and be able to deploy anywhere that you need to. So just going to talk really quickly about the fall release. Going kind of quick, we want to make sure we leave as much time for Manoj to demonstrate everything for you, but want to help everyone understand kind of where we are and what's going on. So remember, we have this name change now. As of October 11th, it's not going to be called Dynamics AX anymore. It's going to be called Dynamics 365 for operations. And you'll see that Dynamics 365 is the base, and then there'll be for operations, for sales, for field service, what have you, that will go with that. So we've made some big investments in finance and HCM. We're very excited about that. We've seen really good feedback from customers, some excitement actually for what we've been able to do in terms of the employee self-service pieces that we've been able to do. We've added support for 18 more countries. We started with 16, we've added 18. We've got additional ones coming, specifically Russia and India. But again, when we add these country-specific capabilities, it's not just language support, which has actually been there for a while. We're actually looking at regulatory and tax support. So we help you support your operations in those countries. And by introducing that, it's also our commitment to support that moving forward. The Power BI content packs for HCM, again, giving you that capability to get the visibility as quickly and easily into the operations that you have to make it easier for customers, for your employees to understand what's going on. Cost accounting, being able to get in and help with the ledgers in there and cost centers, and then US payroll, equivalent functionality that we had in R3 from 2012, we're now going to be bringing into AX. Again, these are all things that we committed to doing, and we're delivering on that commitment as we said we were going to in the time frame. Retail, the product recommendations, again, that's the, you know, people who bought this also bought that. That's a piece that we've been looking to integrate. The in-store warehouse support, really what that's doing, and it kind of combines with the retail scale unit, is that being able to have that retail experience where you actually have a server that's in the store, but there's no maintenance required for it. The reason it's there is it's caching all your data. That way, if in a mall someone goes through and slices the cable for your connection to the cloud, your operations can continue. You can process credit card transactions. You have the whole inventory there, pricing, everything else, so you don't lose that. And it caches it. When the connection's restored, it then takes all that information and brings it up to date and syncs it with your main system. The other example we give is if you're in a manufacturing facility and you have a laser cutter and someone cuts the connection to it, the laser cutter's not just gonna keep going forever in a single line. It knows what it needs to do still because it's using that local server. So again, here's that hybrid piece you hear us talking about. That's it in actual usage. And then the fact that we're supporting iOS and Android. We consistently, since Satya has taken over, have talked about supporting not just Windows platforms, but Apple and Android as well. So excited to be able to bring that out. Again, we're talking about the Power BI, embedded Power BI that actually comes with the license now you get with Dynamics 365, the Tier 2 license. So it gives you access and usage rights to Power BI for all of the enterprise users that you get with AX. Easily designed mobile experiences, that's the Power Apps piece. Mike actually demonstrated it in his general session. Arif, who presented the roadmap session on Monday, demonstrated it as well. It's a way for you to go and quickly build apps that are specific to what your company needs to be able to then push out to your employees to help them be more productive. And then the data migration, as we talked about, being able to, it's not just about transforming your business, it's bringing your legacy information, your business operations with you as you move forward. And those are some of the tools that Manoj is going to be talking about, how we help you with that. Key Vault's one that's coming, that's interesting. What that means is that for when you're running in Azure, and it's a piece that everyone's very concerned about, is privacy. Who owns my data? Where is it sitting? Everything else. There's the Microsoft Trust Center. If you haven't taken a look at that, we encourage you to do that. Microsoft believes in being very transparent. You own your data, period. You own it. We just service it. We are kind of the provider of it, but you own it. You manage it. Key Vault is part of that. You will hold the encryption keys to the data. So that means we can't even get into it. You will have to invite us in when we need to go in and look at servicing of your system. So it's something that, from a privacy standpoint, is something that's very big for companies. The one thing I also like to kind of remind people of is we are the only hyperscale cloud provider in the world that does not automatically turn data over when we have subpoenas that come to us or requests. We actually sued the Department of Justice here in the United States earlier this year and won not to turn over our customer data. Anytime we get a request, we tell the person who's doing the request, you need to go talk to the customer. We're not going to give it to you. Amazon and Google consistently give it to the law enforcement agencies, and many times, a majority of the times, you don't even know they've done it. So you know where your data is, you know who's getting access to it and when. Automated disaster recovery, the fact that we're gonna be moving to Azure Site Recovery, that's gonna allow you to be able to get back up and running. You talk about RPO and RTO, recovery point objectives and recovery time objectives. The point in time you can get to is very quick. The recovery time that it takes can be, right now our SLA is 2 days. We're very clear about that. So it's 48 hours. That's because it's a manual process for us to do that. So if an asteroid hits a data center, which is kind of the way we talk about what the disaster could be, for us to be able to get everyone up and going, we can say every single customer that's running in that data center, we can get back up in 2 days. With Azure Site Recovery, we're gonna be able to take that down closer to 6 hours. So again, we're innovating and evolving and changing our business processes, just as we're encouraging our customers to as well. We're gonna give better monitoring and telemetry into what's going on in the environment so you have a better view into it. And then the data center support, again, where we talk about going into additional data centers, we just launched in the Canadian data centers, which are now GA. That happened last month. Black Forest is coming in, I think this, by the end of this year, it'll be in preview, and then it'll be GA next year. And then the Chinese data centers will actually go in preview the first half of next year. And we are committed to supporting all those different data centers. So there's a way that you, as an existing customer, whether you're 2009 or 2012, can get access to an 18-month trial of AX. These slides, by the way, will be available, so you'll be able to see these later on and be able to access them. But it's for existing Microsoft Dynamics AX customers or partner organizations. Both have access to it. Again, everything now with AX deals with Office 365 tenants. So if you've already got one, we can deploy it into that. If you don't have one, we can help you set up one. And you can even move it between tenants. It's not something that's difficult, but we want to make sure you're helping it. You're going to send an email to daxcf, D-A-X-C-F, at microsoft.com. You will bring your own Azure subscription because you're going to deploy this VM into your own Azure subscription, but it'll give you a chance to take a look at the product. It's a fully functioning version of the product, but you can do that. And you can also deploy unlimited demo and dev test environments. So even some proof of concept work that you want to try to do, you can go ahead and do that with the environments. It's fine. So the reasons to migrate, I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember where we're handing off to Manoj. So actually, this is a really important slide. These are kind of the six big buckets that we've talked with customers about, and all their questions seem to come back to these. As you look at Microsoft Dynamics AX, our current licensing, you're gonna see that updated in a couple of weeks, but our current licensing is, it's $190 per enterprise user per month, flat. That includes all your hardware, all your software, everything you need, the embedded Power BI that you've got, the rights to it, everything that you need for those enterprise users. The on-premises piece that you see on the right, you actually currently can license AX in a subscription model today. The 2012, you can do that. But what we're trying to do is kind of show you what's the difference between the new AX and what we did in 2012. Now, in 2012, you're going to see for the on-premises, there's a number of things that aren't included, and that's kind of where these other buckets are. So with the $190 per user, you get high availability infrastructure. You'd be surprised how many of our customers don't have a high availability of their ERP system. They don't have redundancy built in. They don't have those systems up and going. Or if they do, their high availability is, oh, we've got a server right next to it that's running. And we're like, but what if a flood hits your building, then your whole system's lost? Oh, no, but we're okay. Then you get into disaster recovery. So what are you doing to help protect your data and help yourselves get back up online if there's an issue? Well, where do you do your backups? Well, they're the tapes sitting over there on the counter. Okay, but if you have an earthquake and something happens, where are those systems? Oh, well, Bob takes them home with him on the weekend. So it's okay. We don't have to worry about that. We've taken all of this infrastructure pieces, all of this worry away. We do it automatically. High availability is how we deploy automatically. There's no question about that. You deploy into a data center, we automatically set up a mirror in the paired data center that's in that geographic area that you're in. Azure always builds at least two data centers in the area that you're in. The only exception is Brazil, where that fails over to the US. But everywhere else, we have pairs that are at least separated by 200 miles and usually are on different tectonic plates. That's a big important piece, because if there's an earthquake, they're separated by enough that if you have a power grid failure on one, everything else will keep running. Sandbox environments, automatically get those. We deploy those when you first license. You can immediately start working on stuff. You don't have to purchase equipment, rack, stack, provision, or whatever you have to do. It's ready to go. You don't have to worry about what you pay for the equipment, the heating. It doesn't matter. Administrative, all that stuff's done for you. Servicing the production environment, we monitor and proactively monitor everything that's going on in the environment, give you those telemetry tools that you can look at, but we give the option of we take away the option of you having to deal with it and help cover all of that for you. And then I talked about the additional use rights that you have. You don't have to go out and buy additional licenses. It's all included in that subscription fee. So there's a lot of value that we're being able to deliver, and we believe it's a compelling reason for you to be able to migrate or upgrade to the new AX. Why should customers care? I'm going to go through this a little quick. You all can take pictures of this if you want. You'll get the decks afterwards. But we're really trying to look at, from a value standpoint, why customers who are on 2009 or even AX4 and 2012 would want to move to AX in terms of the new user experience, reducing customizations because we've built more into the product so you don't have to customize to get it there. More things are now standard. When it's standard, it means when you go to upgrade, we're going to guarantee that it works when you upgrade. You don't have to worry about customizations and reworking customizations. Code and data migration tools are there. Reduce the hardware upgrade costs. So we're really trying to bring in those different components that you have to worry about now and unifying it in a way you don't have to. Industry functionality, you're seeing a lot from a retail standpoint. The cloud POS, the ability for you to take any mobile device and turn it into a POS system in about 5 minutes. That becomes interesting when you do pop-up stores. You can have a device that is connected to your entire ERP backend in about 5 minutes. So it becomes really amazing what you can do with that. And some of the other pieces that are here that shows as you migrate what you get. Some of the manufacturing pieces as well and distribution, how it's helping you evolve and help standardize some of those processes and be able to take it away from customization to standard product. So with that, that's you.
Thanks, Manoj.
Thanks, Manoj.
All right. So what I wanted to actually go through today is, right, so a whole slew of tools that what we have developed from helping customers migrating from the existing releases that you could be with 2009 or X2012. And I wanted to actually go through those tools with you guys so that you can take away with some of these options that you have that helps you to actually plan for your migration and stuff. And these are already available, some of them. Some of them are in its preview stage, and I'll kind of explain those in terms of where we are as we go through. So quickly, we'll take a look at what we would be doing with regards to migrating from AX 2009 to the new Dynamics AX. We'll also talk about upgrading from AX 2012 to the new Dynamics AX and some of the roadmap things in terms of where we are looking at from a migration standpoint. So we'll start with the 2009 set of things, right? So the target scenarios for us, even though I'm kind of saying this from a 2009, the similar mechanism in terms of how we are looking into, we're planning on actually doing this for the AX40 releases as well. So our goal is to actually provide customers to be able to migrate from the legacy versions. It could be AX4.0 or 2009. So that's kind of the set of things. And the reason is why I'm cautiously calling this a migrate as opposed to an upgrade is because of its, there's a significant transformation in terms of the data model from some of these releases to the new Dynamics AX, if you were to think of. So the way as how we are approaching this is that we would want to be able to provide the tooling that helps you to migrate your required set of data. And given how old some of these releases are, and the significance of the new capabilities that what we have built into the product with the new release, right? We want to give you the opportunity for you to be able to do an analysis, for you to be able to determine which ones is relevant for you, that you wanted to be able to actually bring in, and bring those extensions only that are relevant to you, and plan your data accordingly, and migrate the required data alone, instead of thinking, oh, this is an entire data. So, what we would actually provide with this is a data migration utility or a tool that sits in your AX2009, and I'll show you that in a bit. What this tool will provide out of the box is, you know, everything that you would probably want to think about from a configuration setup data standpoint. So for the 2009 customers or any existing AX2012 customers, this should resonate in terms of what I mean by this, right? So all the parameters, the setup information that what you have, your master data, that's your customers, vendors, projects, accounts, et cetera. Your opening balances, your open documents, if you have any of those. So these are all some of the standard set of things that what we would actually support out of the box, as well as the system configuration stuff with the number sequences, users, user group stuff that you would be able to seamlessly migrate into the new Dynamics AX. Basically, the fundamental principle or the approach that way as how this migration works is we've introduced a concept called data entities with AX2012, and we have actually enhanced that significantly with the new Dynamics AX capability. And that's kind of the foundation based off of which how this whole thing works. The data entity actually has two constructs. One is what we refer to as a staging representation or an intermediate representation of that entity, if you were to think of. And then your targets that are tables that maybe one or more of those tables, depending on what that entity represents. So the staging gives you a flat representation of whatever the complex set of entity that which you are actually modeling, and that's what we're using as a basis to map that with your AX2009 or AX40 set of things, because they're fairly similar, and we're able to map almost one-to-one. I'll show you that in a bit. So if you want to move any of your customizations as data from your AX2009 systems into the new Dynamics AX, you could do that as long as you have an entity definition for those and you'll be able to actually bring them in. I've called this out ideally as not for historical transactions, and there's a reason behind it, and primarily because if you're thinking of having to have your historical transactions purely for reporting requirements, right, the new capabilities that we have provided with the Power BI, you can actually have reporting done in a coherent way from multiple data sources, and these data does not have to be part of your new Dynamics AX. So that is one of the fundamental set of things that you would probably want it to go through and analyze in terms of determining what you would want it to migrate. We've heard specific scenarios where, you know, we do this thing called a return of my sale, and whenever I do these return of my sale, I want to be able to actually access my historical transaction, even though it may have been closed and things like that. So there are scenarios like that where you might have to go and have a full representation of your historical transactions, and there are ways to actually go in and bring that. And as long as there's a good entity representation for those, we should be able to support those as well. So if you were to look at the migration process itself that you as a customer would be going through, right? So we would actually provide a tool that sits in your AX2009 system, if you were to think of. And you would actually go through the exercise of analyzing what data that needs to be migrated. once you determine what needs to be and understanding what the source is and what the target is, you could potentially go and do a set of pre-processing within that your AX2009 system itself for cleaning up of any data that you need to actually go through. Once you've done those pre-processing, you can actually go through this process, what we call as an extract. And if you've not seen the data management aspects of what we have provided with the new Dynamics X, I'll show that to you guys in a bit. What this is this will allow you to actually extract the data that what you would wanted it to be migrated into a format called data packages. And these data packages are a consumable construct from the new Dynamics AX standpoint. So once you have these data packages, you can actually extract them and then load them into your staging area in AX7. At this point in time, in terms of once you've loaded the data into the new Dynamics AX, the flow is fairly similar whether you're coming from 2009 or you're actually bringing in data from any other set of sources that what you would be bringing in. You could validate this data once again as part of the staging area, and you could do some additional transformations if you would need, and then you could actually push that data from staging to the target if you were. So this is a typical process that what you would expect. And if you would want to actually repeat this thing, you can actually validate the data in the target too. And if you would want to repeat this, for example, if you run into an issue or things of that sort, you could potentially go in and do the cleanup for you to be able to actually do the necessary cleanup in the staging itself and then redo this thing until you get all of those data repeated. One of the things that I commonly get asked is, you know, hey, it's fantastic that I do this for the first time, but I'm going to be running my business with my 2009 system while this whole thing is happening, and I don't expect this to be overnight. So what do I do for some of those incremental sort of things? So this process flow works for the incremental things as well. So what you could do is, for the entities that which you've determined as something that you would want it to migrate, you could basically go in and do the same extraction process, and it would actually go in and do the incremental extraction, and you would be able to actually bring only the delta from the original extraction back into your new Dynamics AX. So from a high-level architecture perspective, in terms of just kind of give you guys a glimpse of what's happening, right? So you have AX2009 database, and you have deployed an AX7, and there's this data migration tool that which we would provide that sits in your AX2009 system, if you were to think of. You would do a bit of pre-processing, and then using the service from the data migration tool, you can actually extract the relevant set of entities information, and these come in various different formats that you would want it to actually support, like CSV formats or XML formats, et cetera. Once that is done, the data migration tool does the necessary mapping with the target staging, which is actually your AX7 system now, and it creates the data packages. Once you have these data packages, these are consumable artifacts that which you can use as an input to your AX7 system, and you can actually load the data into AX. So that's fundamentally the process that what you should be expecting with this. Let me just do a quick demo of this. This is 8. You guys can see the screen okay? So what we have added is the tool actually comes with a set of binary and the AX-specific logic. We have a new checklist called a migration checklist, if you were to think of. The migration checklist provides you with a methodology or a step-by-step approach in terms of what you need to actually go through. So this screens and things should be very familiar for somebody who is already in 2009. So you would start off with determining which companies you would want to migrate from your 2009 system into this thing. And let's say, for example, you select a company, it gives you an ability for you to be able to assess what kind of records are there in that company. When you do that company analysis, you can basically see how many records are there in each of those tables. I'm just showing you a company with the demo data that's loaded, but you could basically get an idea in terms of what is involved with this thing. So you would get an idea of how many records that which you have. This is what you would validate, at least from the source to target perspective, to make sure that you didn't miss anything from your source system to the target system as you're doing the migration. Once you have determined which companies you would want it to actually migrate, the parameters is basically the set of mapping files and the information. So this will be streamlined as part of the configuration itself when we do the deploy, so we don't need to worry about this. In the absence of that, we've actually provided a screen for it. You would actually specify which of your dimensions that you want it to actually migrate. So this will show up, all the set of dimensions. And there's a significant difference in a way as how these dimensions were maintained in the old systems compared to the new way as how they are maintained. So that's why we want to understand which of these dimensions are something that you would want to actually go in and migrate. The same holds good for the inventory dimensions as well. So you could specify which of those that you would want to actually carry forward. Then your chart of accounts. So these are specifically the ones, the chart of accounts, again, is a fundamental construct that changed between the way as how it was in some of these earlier releases starting to 2012, as well as with the new Dynamics AX, which is, it just carried forward to the new Dynamics AX as well. So you have an ability to be able to specify you wanted to use a common shared chart of accounts, or you wanted to actually go in and use the specific ones for each of those companies that which you are actually migrating, and you would be able to specify the main accounts and those opening balances tied to those. Ledger is a new construct that we've introduced with AX 2012 as well as in the new Dynamics AX. So it's a combination of your chart of accounts, calendar, and the currency that you would be using for your legal entity that describes your accounting representation, if you had to think of. So here's where you specify for each of those company, what's your ledger name and what chart of accounts that it needs to actually be using for the corresponding legal entity, and the currency information that is your primary and the reporting currency, if you were to. So these becomes your accounting definitions based off of which your transactions will get accounted in the new Dynamics AX. So that transformation in terms of the data model is what you are actually configuring in your AX 2009 system, because this construct was not there in 2009. So the data conversion rules. So this is, if you recall, I talked about a pre-processing set of things. So there are scenarios where specific information could be maintained in one way in your AX 2009 system, may need to be maintained in a very different way in your new Dynamics AX system. So we give you an option on a per EDT basis, the extended data type basis, for you to be able to actually go and define what kind of conversions at which you would want it to apply. So you can do any kind of transformations if you were to think of. This is just to give you an example, right? So there's a description entity if you were to think of. It gives you what the source value is and what the target value needs to be. So you could actually specify something like this. So anytime when we do the extraction, if any of those fields uses this extended data type, we would actually go in and apply these conversion rules and then bring in the relevant data as the modified data as how you would want this to be. You could define as many of these and it gets picked up as we do the extraction. Once you've defined all of these things, you go through this thing called entity list. So this is basically the place where you actually define which of your data that you would want to actually move, and you can actually go in and describe and group these entities in any way as how that's meaningful for you. So let's say, for example, this actually shows you pretty much all the different module areas that if you have to, and then if you were thinking of customers, right, for example, so you can actually think about, I just wanted to look at all customer-related setup that I wanted to do. And so this basically lists pretty much everything in those from a customer setup standpoint. And if you were looking at the configurations, for example, CUS group is fairly straightforward. And you could basically come in and say, yes, I want to migrate my customer groups. And you would basically include them into your migration set of things. Anything that what you have listed in this and you have configured for this to be included are the ones that which you would be able to actually go in and use. This allows you to actually go in and model these set of entities as groups of things at which you would want it to be able to migrate. So you could do it in a phased manner if you were to think of, you know, start with something that's more fundamental, do all your system configurations, your organizations and stuff, then bring your customers, then bring your vendors, then bring your transactions or what that which you would want it to actually migrate. So you could basically configure these. And once you have gone through this exercise, you can basically create this thing called migration group. I have created this record called Ignite Demo, and then you could basically go in and select your set of entities that which you would wanted it to be included for this migration run, right? So let's just go and use something that's fairly straightforward. So you could say, I want this to be included for this particular run. And I can go and export this now. So once you export it, if you recall, I talked about your initial set of extraction as well as the incremental extraction. So this is where you could basically specify which ones are those that which you would wanted it to be extracted. So for now, I'm just basically extracting pretty much everything that's there in the system. And depending on the volume of this, you could do this directly from the client, or you can also do this in the background through the batch execution aspects of it. And when you do this, I have marked this as export this as a data package, and I'll show you in a minute in terms of what the data package really means. Okay. Let me just get through this to see if it had generated. I don't think it did. The favorite part of demos, so let me just go ahead and make sure. Yes, I do have these. And let's go through this. Okay, so there was an issue with this thing, but I'll show you what if you had extracted. So if you had extracted the package, so this is basically as what you would be, will see. So you would actually see a manifest file that basically will display everything that is included in that package. You will have a package header that basically describes what all entities that are part of that package. And you will have one single, so this was a CSV format file. You will basically have an Excel file for each of those entities that what you have extracted. So once you have extracted this, you could basically come into your AX7 system. And that's for me is 7. So within the new Dynamics AX, so we have a data management workspace, and within the data management workspace is basically from where you can actually do the import and the export aspects of it. So if you have a data package, if you were to think of, I'll just show you a glimpse of what that really means. So if you were doing this thing, so this is basically the same set of formats that what you would see there as well. And I want this to be generated as a data package if you were to think of. So at this point in time, you know, I can basically export this. Now I have an exported format. So when you're doing this thing, you can give a job name. That name already exists. And here you can specify your source data format. Along with the other formats, you can actually specify this as a package. Right? So I think once you specify this as a package, and you can specify which files you want it to actually go in and upload. So this will actually inspect the contents of the package, and then it'll actually go in and bring in those that are customer groups, if you were to think of. So at this point in time, you could basically select this thing and then import this, or you can basically schedule this job. The idea is that, you know, anything that what you have actually brought in as your consumable data package format, you could basically bring them into your AX7 and then do this thing. And you could do this in phases. You could do this as one whole set of things from an initial migration standpoint, and then you could do your incremental in the same way as how you would do it. Hopefully this gives you a glimpse in terms of what this would support. Let me go back to 5. So from an AX 2012 perspective, we're thinking slightly differently from AX 2009. So that's why I'm calling it consciously, this is an upgrade. And when I talk about the upgrade, we will support both the code upgrade aspects of it as well as the data upgrade. The code upgrade aspects is already something that's live, and you can actually go in and start looking into some of these things. And I'll touch upon what we are thinking about from a data upgrade perspective as well in a minute. So typically, what's the migration process as what we are thinking, right? So we have a code upgrade service that's provided within the lifecycle services. And once you create an AX7 migration project within the lifecycle services, and you have an ability to be able to provide your model store that's extracted from your AX2012 system, and you can provide that as an input, and we use the upgrade service to actually give you an estimate of what is involved in terms of actually migrating, as well as you know, you could actually go in and have that code upgrade service do the migration for you. We have done certain things that are fundamentally different from what we have done with the previous set of release to newer release upgrade approaches. So the code upgrade service is a fully orchestrated set of things from the lifecycle service, and I'll show you what I mean by that in a bit from the lifecycle services itself. When you run the service, it would actually do the migrations as much as possible in terms of what we could go in and do. And the ones that which we couldn't do, we actually will create a task for you, and then we'll create those tasks in the Visual Studio Team Foundation services. That's what's referred as VSTS here. And we'll actually give you a very nice report that shows you, along with an estimate of what we think, with the pattern descriptions of what we expect you to be able to actually modify as well. So what's happening as part of the service itself, right? So from the upgrade service, you can upload your model store. For 2009 customers, you know, we used to have all the applications models as a file system. In AX2012, we had the models in the database, depending on which release that you are in. With AX2012, it may be in its own database, or it may be part of the application database. So we're moving back to file system with the new Dynamics AX, and the metadata is actually maintained in an XML format. So that's the first conversion that basically happens as part of the upgrade service. Once we go through that, it figures out in terms of which ones are the overlayering sort of things that what you guys have done. And it goes through what we call as a model split. So this is fundamental change from the way as how the code has been organized with the applications for the prior releases to what we would be doing going forward. So we have separated the code in three different set of layers, if you were to think of. We call them application platform, foundation, and the suite. The platform is basically everything that involves around the server, the client, the integration, the analytics aspects of things, everything that is fundamental based off of which you would be building the application. The foundation are basic constructs through which the whole AX is built. So it's basically, you know, all the organization model, the unit of measures, the currency aspects of it, the accounting framework dimensions, based off of which you build the applications today. So those are all part of your application foundation. We want to actually contain the kind of changes that you would be doing between the platform and the foundation. And this application suite, you have complete control in terms of what you used to do. So these are out-of-the-box modules like general ledger, accounts payables, receivables, et cetera, and all the extensions that you build as well. So we split the models into those three different set of buckets, and we put your changes in the appropriate places. We recommend patterns of how you need to be modifying the stuff in the platform and the foundation. And you will basically go through making the relevant changes, compiling each of these models till you actually complete it. The auto migration actually does a whole bunch of stuff, very different from what we used to do in the traditional code upgrade set of exercises you would have seen. And then it source controls them into Visual Studio Team Foundation services for you. And it also creates the work items for the ones that which we want you to actually go in and take a look at. And for every one of those work items, we actually have identified with the markers in the code that you can actually go in and take a look at. And one of the cool things that it does is it gives you a three-way compare, if you were to think of from the Visual Studio, which is now the development IDE for us instead of the Marfix in a traditional way as what we used to do. It gives you a three-way compare where you can actually see what is used to be yours and then what is changed between the application code with the new Dynamics AX and a merged view of how your stuff would actually merge with the new changes and things that have been deprecated or things that have been changed. You have an ability to be able to view all three of those at the same point in time if you were to. And based off of which you could determine how the code needs to be changed, and then you would be able to actually go in and do that. So once you have actually gone through this, and then once you've resolved all of these things, you basically get a fully compiled stuff. At that point in time, it's ready for your testing, and then moving forward to the other set of environments. A quick demo of this. For that, I need to go to 7. So one of the things that what we have actually provided with the code upgrade set of things, right? We provide you with what we call as a methodology, and you would actually see these kinds of constructs with every single thing that what we would provide around the upgrade or the migrations going forward. And they will all be offered through lifecycle services. And you would see a methodology that describes in terms of step-by-step approach of what we are recommending as the steps that which you should actually go through. So here I'm actually showing you for an AX 2012 migration, specifically from a code migration standpoint for the methodology. So when you create a migration project, you get this methodology associated with it by default. And you can actually see it gives you step-by-step information in terms of some things that which you need to actually go through. When you select each one of those references, you will actually see resources tied to this that which you can actually have your organization sort of engineers go and work with and understand what is involved with each of those. It gives you steps for what you need to be preparing for your AX 2012 solution. It gives you the overall approach. So these are basically videos that tells you what is involved in the overall set of steps if you were to think of. And it walks you through for every step of the phase in terms of how to go prepare for your development, the actual code upgrade exercise itself. That wasn't supposed to happen. And then all the way up to how do you test your changes, what kind of changes you need to be making with your code, the forms, reports, et cetera. So that's what you should basically expect with some of these things. And each one of them has steps with videos and a set of exercises that what you can actually try with the fleet model stuff that what we ship out of the box so that you could learn this and actually apply those into your set of things. The actual migration experience itself, if you were to think of what it is, right? So we have this thing called a code upgrade. So that's the code upgrade service that what we provide. And you can create a code upgrade project, and then the first thing that which you would do is you would upload your model store, and then once you have uploaded your model store, you could basically go in and analyze the code. So this activity takes about an hour to hour and a half, depending on, you can think in terms of all the different things and the amount of customizations that you've done. It takes about an hour and a half in terms for it to be able to actually go through the analysis and do the necessary splits and the source controlling aspects of it for us to be able to give you a full-fledged report. Once it is completed, you would basically see a report of this sort that will give you the complete analysis of all the different set of models that what you have, the different layers in which you've done, and it'll give you information about every element that it's able to actually go in and do, the auto merge, and the ones that which it couldn't do for which it had created the tasks. So it'll give you the forms at which you've been able to actually convert, the elements that which it's able to actually convert, the ones that if it failed for any kind of conversion, you will actually see, and then anything that's remaining from your standpoint, and it'll give you an estimate as well if you run it with an estimation. And if you wanted to see that, you can basically run the same model for and select the estimation only. It'll give you an ability for you to be able to actually analyze the model, and it'll give you a good estimation in terms of what is involved with the overall sort of migrating your code into the new Dynamics AX. So that's pretty handy in terms of what you would need. And just to kind of give you a glimpse of, have we tried this thing? So this has been out since March of last year, and we have actually piloted this with a good number of solution providers today, and you can actually go to appsource.microsoft.com where you can actually see the solutions that have been migrated using this approach. We have at least close to about 70?
Yeah, 57
right now.
Close to 200
in development. Yep, and there's significant set of ones that are in development that which we are actively engaged at working with them. So this process is fairly well tested, if you were to think of, and we're continuously improving this thing. So quickly on the roadmap in terms of what we are investing, I did call this upon the, as an upgrade for AX2012, so that means we will do code and the, sorry. Thank you. We will actually do code and the data upgrade for AX2012, and the data upgrade is something that we're looking for a preview around the early 2017. And then to be able to be generally available sometime towards the spring release of 2017, so which is targeted around the April timeframe. We'll continue to invest in the methodology for us to be able to actually be the way as how we prescribe, as how you should be upgrading and the migrating. So you will actually see specific methodology that will help you with the learning materials and stuff. So we're continuing to actually invest in actually building more lifecycle services solutions and publishing them as part of the app source, the which you can actually see the ones that are relevant for you, that which you will be able to actually go through. And these are solutions that which the solution architecture team along with the R&D kind of reviews it and make sure that these solutions are migrated in the right way for us to be able to actually publish them into the app source. We continue to actually do more sort of readiness activities, and we and if you are interested in any of these aspects, right, so do let us know, and we would be able to actually have workshops and provide the necessary sort of trainings for you guys, or work with you in a more lab settings or one-on-one type settings if you were to think of, and you know, help you with the overall sort of migration exercise. So these are some of the activities that what is planned, and there's more set of things that what you would actually see in terms of some of these readiness workshops that what's going to be available. So we definitely want you to evolve your business for cloud. So if you are a solution provider, we want you to build your solutions for apps so that they can be discovered, tried, and then they can be easily consumed from a customer standpoint. And then, you know, if you are one of those early customers who have been using some of the existing releases, you know, we have a path for you so that you can actually move from your current release to the new Dynamics AX. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for you to be able to learn. So we encourage you for you to be able to learn the new Dynamics 365 and get ready. With that, I'll open it up for Q&A. Sure. The question was, is there something that we need to go do in preparation of migrating the 2012 solutions to the new Dynamics AX? The answer is yes, there are a bunch of things that which you can actually go in and do. We have called that out as one of the prerequisite steps in that migration methodology, if you actually see. At a very high level, you know, we have steps that helps you to actually do the data cleanup, that what you could possibly do. Model cleanups in terms of what you could do, and we have a pretty good white paper that describes the set of things that you need to actually go in and do before you actually bring your code in, and those are well documented that I would encourage you to actually go. The very simple way to access this is when you create a lifecycle services project for AX7, you can create a project for migration, and you would actually get this migration methodology associated with it, and that will tell you exactly what the preparatory step needs to be.
So you could literally go back today or and deploy, create a new project, and you'll see it right away, the methodology.
Go ahead.
Do I understand that you have two methodologies, either a migration of master data and multiple injections versus a full data upgrade? Are those two separate paths, or is it just one path?
So the question is, are there different methodologies for the setup and configuration aspects of it, and then the code migration set of things. So the way to think about this is you will at least have two methodologies, one in the context of customers coming from AX2009 to the new Dynamics AX, and one in the context of customers coming from 2012 to the new Dynamics AX. The 2012 one, we're looking at it as a code and the data upgrade solution. We have the code upgrade already published. We're working on the data upgrade, and you'll see steps added to the existing methodology for the 2012 to the new Dynamics AX. For the 2009 to the new Dynamics AX, we will create a new methodology that will help you to migrate your data into the new Dynamics AX.
Timeline,
the question is, can you tell us the timelines again? So the AX 2009 to the new Dynamics AX, we're currently in the preview stage right now, and we intend to actually make this available as part of you know, the October-November timeframe. We'll actually start having this with the public preview. The 2012 code upgrade is already available. The data upgrade, we're planning on doing a preview around the January timeframe. And then we'll make this a public preview around the spring release. Go ahead.
Does your code migration handle same developments that didn't exist, or not changes to come with the AX, but they migrated completely new modules or new class and new objects? Would be able to take that and migrate it, or is that something that still needs work
to? So the question was, does it detect something new so that you kind of seamlessly migrate into the new Dynamics AX, or do you have to go through some bit of manual effort? Did I get the question right? Okay. So the migration really is applicable in cases where you've actually done the extensions or the customizations using the overlayering approach, where you modified something within the standard code and stuff. So if you had something that's completely isolated, they should be seamlessly migrated. You would still go through this tool, and the reason primarily because what you would have maintained in your current release, even though they are net new artifacts that you've added, those would be maintained in a format called XPOs, which was more a proprietary format in terms of how AX used to maintain this stuff. The conversions of those into XML formats, and then the ability for them to be able to get themselves bundled under the right model and stuff. So those are the exercises that what you would be able to leverage, but that exercise should be fairly seamless because they are net new artifacts that you're bringing in. The only other thing that which you might have to go in and do is if you are leveraging anything that's deprecated from the old release to the new release, you would have to go in and modify those. So the question was 30-90 days onboarding, is that for new customers or for the existing customers? So the onboarding aspect of it is fairly different from how you would actually go live with the solution, right? So from an onboarding perspective, really is what it means is for you to be able to actually get, once you've made the purchase, from that point onwards for you to be able to realize the different environments and for you to be able to actually go in and do. That's fairly a shorter window in terms of independent of whichever customer you are in. How you are able to actually bring in your data from that point onwards once you have your basic setup environment. Sort of exercise and everything that I talked about comes into play. And if you are a net new customer, it's fairly different sort of methodology that you would go through. And if you are coming in as a migration or an upgrade customer, you would go through a different set of methodology.
I will say though that the it's a 60 to 90 day that we're seeing is mostly there, if it's an existing customer, they're approaching it as a net new deployment.
So the question is, if you have heavy modification as part of the foundation model, what happens to it as part of the exercise, right? So if you've done stuff within the platform or the foundation, we recommend you with a set of patterns as how we would advise you to extend it. And that's what you would actually go through as part of the migration exercise. We would actually call each one of those and flag them in those respective models for you. And we'll tell you which patterns we should actually go in and change it to so that you would go through that exercise. Go ahead.
How are layers used in AX7?
So how are layers used in AX7 and do they have no meaning? It's not necessarily like they don't have no meanings. I think they still do have, from an X++ perspective, they still do have the meaning in terms of how it is. And we still continue to actually honor those individual layers that what we use to support, at least in terms of the core set of ones as well as the localization ones as we go forward. The other layers in terms of some of the solutions and stuff, in terms of I think it's dying. The solutions and stuff that what we used to have, so those might have some different meanings in terms of what it is, but the layering as a concept is not dead yet. So if there's no more questions, we're going to hang out a little bit more here. And you know, if you are specifically interested in sort of things, please let us know. And we'd be happy to actually answer questions and stuff. And we'll let the folks for the other sessions to be able to actually set it up as well. So thank you so much for attending the session with us today. Enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.